This is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Julius Randle just doesn't get it, and the forgiveness should not be there right away, frankly. It's Carlin, 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. We are with you until 9 p.m. this evening. On Twitter, it's at Chris Carlin, and of course on Instagram and on TikTok, it's That Guy Carlin. No video stream tonight. It will be back next week. We will get into some football a little bit later on and why exactly this game does have some importance for the New York Jets and what can be taken out of it up in Buffalo on Sunday, despite the fact that they will be somewhat shorthanded. Well, that's pretty much been the case all year, hasn't it? I am really annoyed with what happened with Julius Randle last night. And if you're just joining us and you haven't heard, he has already apologized. Well, I shouldn't say that he's apologized. He has issued a statement. We'll get to that in a minute. But as we know, last night he gave the thumbs down to the fans. He was asked after the game, why did you give the thumbs down to the fans who were booing in the second quarter because the Knicks were down 24? And this was his response.
Shut up. What you talking about? To who? He just said to who? You saw what was going on out there. Forget.
Shut the blank up. I mean, no joke. Francisco Lindor and Javi Baez put it a lot better. And this is not in the heat of the moment, folks. This is well after the game. This is an hour plus later. And you still want to sit there and say, shut the blank up to the fans. Okay. All right. The same fans who were chanting MVP last year. Those same people who dared boo you after you got a contract. They haven't been booing you all season long, but you have not played well all season long, and you know that. So here was Julius's response just a little while ago in the statement he was set to make.
Have you prepared your statement of regret?
I have.
Let's hear it.
I state my regret.
You couldn't have memorized that?
I could not because I do not feel it.
Exactly. He did not feel it. This was the actual statement that went out on the Instagram. And please tell me that Julius Randle was the one that put this together. Just want to send out a quick message to our fans and be clear. I love New York City and being a part of this team and this franchise. And like most Knicks fans, I am really passionate about us being successful. My family and I love how the fans and New Yorkers have embraced and accepted us and have made us feel great about our direction to commit long-term with the team this past summer. This support means the world to us. I understand that my actions also represent the league, the organization, and the city, and that I should have handled things last night differently and expressed myself with more professionalism and more appropriate language in the heat of the moment. My comment was an example of how sometimes you say things you regret to the people you love, even if it came from a place of passion and deep love. Nobody wants to win more than me, and I will continue to show loyalty and dedication to my teammates, the entire Knicks organization, and the fans who have shown me and my family so much love. I am going to keep focusing on the future. You never can deny that you will hear the word future in every form of apology that ever goes out there for any stupid incident, because that is the player's way of saying, I'm not going to address this anymore. It's over with. I'm worried about the future. I didn't hear an I'm sorry. I didn't read an apology. I didn't see the word I apologize or the words I apologize. Nowhere in there did I see any of that. That was the way of fake apologizing without apologizing. You know, going back to what we saw with Lindor and Javi Baez over the summer, part of me I don't want to say I excuse it because I never excused it. Just in general, as professional athletes, you have to know better. But look at the markets that they came from. They came from Chicago, where Baez is playing for the Cubs, and everybody loves the Cubs out there. And Lindor, who is in Cleveland, and nobody cares about the Indians unless they're winning in a big way. And they were new to New York, and they're still learning about New York and what it's like to play here and what the fan base is like. And they'd never end up saying anything like that in Chicago or Cleveland because, frankly, they're just not getting any kind of boos or response. It's not happening. People either love you unconditionally and don't demand much of you, as has been with the case with the Cubs for so many years, or they just don't care, as has been the case with the Cleveland Indians. So it was new for those guys. Julius has been here. Julius has been here. This was inexcusable, stupid, arrogant, and insulting on so many levels. And you can sit there and apologize if you want, but if I'm a Knicks fan and I'm going to those games and I'm shelling out the money, you're going to have to earn it back. You're going to have to earn it back. Go play better. Go be a better player. And when we are booing you now for having hammered us after the game and for having given us the thumbs down when you were playing terrible and you know it, when you're going to do that, understand what's going to come back in return. Lindor, Baez got past it pretty quickly. And I'm sure once he puts in 30, the fans will, 30 again, I should say, the fans will be more than happy to embrace him again and starts playing like the player that he was last year. Because if Julius Randle looks in the mirror, he should understand a few things. Number one, he is not playing anywhere near with the same edge as he did last year, and he knows that. He knows it. He knows it. This has been a first half of the season, rest on your laurels type situation. Not just Julius, for a lot of players on this team, where they have played average basketball at best. His numbers are way down across the board. Down 5 points a game, that's a lot. It's a lot. And now, as he moves forward here, as he talks about focusing on the future, will he still be focusing on it if he's still getting booed? Like, he'll be smart enough to not do anything. But I truly believe that there is a part of him that still is not sorry for what happened. Because he, in essence, said yesterday before the game, or maybe it was the day before, he does not care what anybody thinks, when in actuality, he really does. He's just going to go and do it, and he's going to clap back at guys. But he, in that instance, was so out of line, it's not even funny. Fans booed. They weren't throwing a beer at you. They weren't doing anything out of line. Not in the least. Maybe there were a couple of saying things that they shouldn't say, but in general, there was no aberrant behavior there. Dude, it can be worse. It can be worse. And there is a constant lately in the NBA, a choice to not understand what the social contract is between the paying customers and the players. Is it always fair? Well, the money that you are getting is the price of admission when it comes to players getting booed by fans. You get paid a ridiculous amount of money. Yes, you're uber talented. Yes, you work ridiculously hard. But the only reason you get paid that amount of money is that these people are paying exorbitant prices to go and watch you play. And occasionally they're going to be upset when you play poorly. Are you human? Of course. Can you be frustrated by it? Yes. You can't ever show it. And that wasn't showing it last night. That was rubbing your face in it. And to be frank, this apology isn't good enough. It's not good enough. I never heard the words, I'm sorry, or apologize. I didn't even hear, I'm apologizing if I offended you. That crap cop-out that you always hear these days. None of it. None of it. Are you forgiving Julius Randle this quickly? That's what I want to know. Is that enough for you? Or do you need to see more? Lines are open. I want to know why I should. This quickly. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. Hey, the Knicks have not been a good basketball team all year. All year. Beginning of the season, they started 5-1. That was fine. That was it. Are you ready to forgive Julius Randle for telling you to shut the blank up? I wouldn't be. I generally try to take the high road, too. Well, there have been times. You've read about them, but you know the point. I like to try to take the high road. You have to admit. You have to admit. That's inexcusable. Are you going to forgive him and forget about it that easily?
It's Carlin.
I have very little patience for stupidity.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, skates have been made.
I'm just thoroughly annoyed by it, to tell you the truth. I really am. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. Carlin, you, vamanos, muchachos. He was on hold quite a bit the other night, and I apologize we didn't get to him. He is Spike in St. Pete to start us off tonight. Spike, what's going on?
Oh, apology not warranted. Sorry, I'm fighting a little issue here with a disease, COVID. So
you got the COVID, Spike? Little... That sucks.
Yeah. Well,
how bad has it been?
I'm on my, what is today? I'm sorry, it's Friday, Sunday, and... You know, I got other immunocompromised, so I'm dealing with it. You know, I got a high fever a couple of days, and then it subsides. But my whole house is affected. And my mother was 85, and we're more concerned about her. But that's it. We'll get through this. You know.
I'm keeping our fingers crossed for you, bud.
Yeah, well, thanks, brother. You take care, too. Listen, so a couple of funny things. Maybe I'll get a laugh. I'll feel better. So I definitely agree with you. And I sent you a message. Listen, here's the thing. I thought last year was an aberration, but 72 games is a big thing to look at. He was brilliant last year. He was so brilliant that I discussed and argued with a lot of people, because you know I'm a diehard NBA guy, that it's almost impossible to do what he did with shooting threes. And you go that much. He doubled, you know, he went up 50%. That's almost impossible with a big number. So I like the guy. He played his ass off last year, and noticeably this year, he's not giving you the effort. If he misses the shot, he's probably first or second in the NBA, having the ball in his hand, and definitely first or last, however you look at it, at getting rid of the ball, which annoys the hell out of all of us. But all that being said, you can't do that. I was in 87 when I was a season ticket holder. I was at poster night for Patrick. I won't even bring that up, what happened. You know the story.
Yeah.
And it was unforgivable to me. And this is unforgivable. You cannot get back the fans. And let me leave you with this, because it's a pleasure to have you till 9 o'clock, I believe Jacob told me. I know you got a great sense of humor. This will take 15 seconds. There's a team, if Jacksonville wins, which is unlikely, the other two teams play to a tie, they get the last playoff position, correct?
Yes, correct. Oh, if you're talking about the Chargers game?
Yeah. So I watched some podcasts with Nina Kahn. She's very funny. I find her very entertaining. Mm-hmm. And so they were all laughing about it a little bit, you know, Pablo and the other fellow with him. So I'm thinking, and just for a cheap laugh, and I know I'm reaching here, could they just line up, Jacksonville wins, could they just line up and go neutral zone violation, illegal motion, just keep doing it. You know, declined. I mean, this is a Saturday night live bit. This is how absurd that whole situation is. Obviously, the league wouldn't allow it. But how is that wind up, Chris? Don't they have a tiebreaker?
That's how it gets done. I mean, it's, you know, appreciate the call, Spike. It's unfortunate. But listen, that's not going to happen. Now, as you heard Mike Tannenbaum talk about earlier with Michael, Don, and Peter, if you got to overtime and both those teams are tied up, would they get exceptionally conservative? They probably would. They probably would. That's where it gets interesting. Would you then hold off and be like, let's not be stupid here. Let's not go out there and throw a pick six. Let's not do anything that's going to cost us if, you know, this comes down to it. Because a tie is as good as a win at that point. Rob in Queens is not happy with me. Rob, what's going on tonight, bud?
I don't know why every time I call you, it feels like I'm just annoyed at what you're saying. I respect it, but you get me to call in, it drives me crazy.
All right, what's up?
Let me get you this. Do you think that the fans of Bill and Randall makes him play less hard? Or do you think in the future it will? Or do you think that he actually led that comeback last night, they end up winning the game, and you want fans to be upset? At the end of the day, we won the game last night. We won a game where they were down 25. Mm-hmm. So regardless of his feelings for the fans, he played his butt off. They came back. They won that game.
All right, well, let me ask you something. Let me ask you something, though. You're not bothered at all by a player saying you're telling the fans to shut the blank up?
Not at all. Not at all. He gave us a year of great basketball last year. Everyone's entitled to, hey, listen, I'm sick of this, you know. He gave us thumbs down. He didn't tell everybody there to friggin'
all right, let me ask you something else then.
You know?
Do you think the fans were booing to inspire better play, or do you think they were booing because they were frustrated?
I think fans are stupid, and when they go to a game, most of them don't know a lot about basketball. They show up, they see the team's down 25, and they start booing because, I didn't come here to see my team down 25. And they don't stick with it.
Well, I don't think it was just being down 25. I think it was being down 25 and really not playing that great so far this year.
Do you think the fans left the game saying I was upset I went to that basketball game?
No. No, absolutely not.
There you go.
I don't think that at all. But if I was a guy that paid for that and I heard after the fact.
You didn't get your money's worth? You didn't get your money's worth?
No. Hang on. If I'm a guy that paid for that, I got my money's worth in the game. But if I paid for it and one of the players is telling me to shut the blank up and I don't have the right to boo, no. I'm sorry, that doesn't fly. Not when your money pays the players. There are times that it seems to escape players and they actually don't believe that's the case, but it is.
He's going to get booed the next game. What did it stop any fan from doing?
What do you mean, what did it stop any fan from doing? Thanks for the call, Rob. I understand what you're saying. If I'm paying my money and this team's been as disappointing as they have been so far this year, and a guy who, let's just call it what it is, has not played with the same intensity that he did last year, and I'm putting that very nicely, and you know that. You know that. A guy who has just not played nearly as hard this year as he did last year, and the fans are calling him out on it when they go down 25 in the first half? I don't have a problem with the fans being upset by that. They want to win just as much as the players want to win. That's bothersome to me that a player would come out and say that. Because there is a contract that exists between the paying customers and the players. It doesn't give the paying customers the right to say anything that they want. But if they want to voice that they're upset with it in a responsible way, and frankly, that's booing, I can't have a problem with that. I can't. It's not all freaking rainbows all the time. It is not always a pat on the back like you have come up because everybody has always treated you like gold because of your ability. That's not life. That's not life. People seem to want that to be life right now, but it's not. It's absurd to think that way. And it's soft to think that way. Come on.
It's Carlin.
He's no Michael K.
On 98.7 ESPN.
I never thought that I would find a way out. I never thought I'd hear my heart beat.
Carlin, 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. Let's hit some of the tweets that have been coming in about this. So let's do that. At Chris Carlin. Let's see here. Give me a break. Nobody cares. They won the game. This is all he needed to say. It's fine. There's no story here anymore. Ready to move on. Look, if that's your feeling about it, that's great. That's fine. And I understand it. I just think that it's a little bit soft on the fans' part. Nick checking in. For once, I agree. Julius Randle is extremely soft, and this wasn't an apology, more like the front office trying to tidy things up. X for Xavier. He doesn't need to say anything else. This is good enough. Carl Semkow. Knick fans boo when they see sloppy, lazy, disinterested play. This is the number one point that I would make and or agree with. That is absolutely accurate. Soft, lazy play. We have seen it at times this year. We have seen it at times this year from this Knicks team. David Imondi checking in. They have no leg to stand on. He addressed it. If he didn't address it, then sure. But he got out in front of it. Continuing to keep it a story because he didn't use the actual words "I'm sorry" or "apologize" is ludicrous and a massive reach. It's actually not. It's the softening of responsibility. It's stepping up for your actions. And he kind of did, but he really didn't. And for everybody that wants to sit there and say it was emotional and then in the moment, it was not in the moment. Maybe the thumbs down was in the moment, but the response after the game was thought about for quite some time. There was time to cool off, and there wasn't any cooling off. There wasn't anything but shut the blank up. That was it. Daniel in Florida is next on 98.7 ESPN. Daniel, what's up?
Hey, Chris, thank you for taking my phone call.
Yes, sir.
The point I wanted to make about the whole Julius Randle situation, like he says, he doesn't care what the fans think, and then he turns around and does the thumbs down. So what we should do is show him, well, we don't care either. Last year, we were chanting MVP every time you went to the free throw line. We should have a boycott of cheering. Anytime he does anything good, scores, anytime, anything what he does, we don't cheer. We just stay silent and have a boycott that way. I didn't take it too personal, but I think it just shows, it made me look at him sideways, a different way. What kind of heart do you have? Maybe that's why you crumble in the playoffs. Maybe we can't rely on you. Maybe you're a player we can't build around. If booing hurts you, you know, I guess maybe another player that whispers something in his ears, like what happened to LeBron James, would make him miss a free throw in a crucial time.
Well, let's just call it what it is, okay? Let's call it what it is. Julius Randle is not part of the solution here for the Knicks long term. He's not. And when I say the solution, I'm talking about the championship solution. He is not part of that long term for the Knicks, Daniel. Thanks for the call. As far as like an organized boycott of cheering him, that's never going to happen. Is he going to get booed the next time that they introduce him at the Garden? That I'll be curious to see. I think they will. I think they will. But I don't think it's a lock that that's the case. I think a lot of people are willing to just forget about it and let somebody just throw it right back in your face. And I think it's probably from a lot of Knicks fans that don't go to the games, that just don't think. If you don't go to the games, you're not putting your money out there and you're not having somebody tell you to shut the blank up. I'm sorry, I value the money a little bit more than that if I'm shelling it out to go to a game. I would not want to be told what I do and don't have the right to do on that front when that's perfectly within reason. I mean, look. You don't go there and shout obscenities about his mother and all that kind of stuff. And you don't call him ridiculous names. What you do, though, is you boo and you let them know that what they're doing is not acceptable. That's fair. And that's what was happening earlier in the night. Eli in Newark is next, 98.7 ESPN. Eli, what's going on?
Hey, Colin. First things first, hope all's well with your fans and loved ones.
You too. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, wow. This whole thing with Julius Randle, and to me, last season, not only him, but the whole team overachieved. He may be the best player on the team, but he's not a number one. At best, he might be a second or third on a championship team. Anyway, I've seen the thumbs down, whatever, and the press conference, read what you read today. Okay, the fans, they got every right to boo with the price they pay for these tickets, concessions, and the park, and I understand that. They was talking earlier, I think on Michael Kay's show, about these fans and the players getting some kind of meeting, but who's to say who's supposed to do what? We know it should be, everybody should conduct themselves a lot better. I understand that. But we can't leave out the fact that the fans, well, they still do serve alcohol and beverages to fans, some sneaking other stuff too. And I've seen players like, for instance, Charles Barkley spit at a fan or on one. I've seen a player go in the stands after fans. I've seen Knicks fans, not on Knicks players, but visiting players, spit on them. I've seen at Yankee Stadium fans throwing things on the field. And God forbid, if you're a Major League Baseball player and you go to Fenway Park and you play in the outfield and you happen to be black, the racial slurs hurled at that person, I mean, like a torrent, like a storm of that, okay, that doesn't excuse Randall, but I'm trying to understand. I don't remember him having a history of this stuff. Now, if it becomes a pattern, that's one thing. But you, this morning I heard you was really going in, okay. Then Hahn and Bart was going back and forth, especially Hahn. Then a Michael Kay show going in on it, and now you're going in again. I mean, does it end any time? I mean, I think
it's a story today.
Wait, one second. I think the thing that Randall did, he revealed that he's not a robot. And I don't want to make it like, okay.
No. Listen, Eli. I let you go. I gave you a lot of room here, and thanks for the call. No. It's not that he revealed that he's not a robot. We know he's human. In the moment, he did the thumbs down. I can accept it if after the game he's going to say, yeah, that was just me a little frustrated. It was silly. Then it would be over. But no, after the game, think about the fact that, what is that, an hour after it happened? After the game, 10, 15 minutes between the end of the game and when he's facing the media, and that's what he says. What was the thumbs down for? It's pretty simple.
Shut the f*** up. What you talking about? To who? He just said to who? You saw what was going on out there. Forget.
Yeah. That's not it. That's not in the heat of the moment. That is very calculated after a certain amount of time. At some point, you're able to put it behind you. And he was not able to put it behind you in an expeditious amount of time, shall we say. But I do believe that it reveals just another reason why Julius Randle is absolutely in no way part of the solution with the Knicks.
You're listening to Chris Carlin.
Now, it's not like that's definitively on the table, on the table.
On 98.7 ESPN.
We keep rolling. Rio in Pennsylvania is next on 98.7 ESPN. Rio, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, everybody? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, bud.
First of all, Carlin, you're amazing. I love your show. It's always awesome when you're with the guys, with Michael Kay and everybody. But, I was talking to the gentleman who picked up, and my thing is, I feel like the emotions were so raw right after the game, especially something so crazy that happened. Nobody thought they were going to win with a game-winning shot. So I just feel like maybe the emotions were too raw, were too fresh. I don't know. It just seems like the question, even though every fan wanted to know and it was something that needed to be talked about, but I just feel like maybe in that moment, the emotions, the whole situation, maybe it was too fresh. And maybe if it would have came out today, maybe if the question was asked today, I think his response might have been a little more, you know, with a little calmer head, a level-headed head, personally speaking, anyway.
Yeah, listen, I get it, but it's still, it's not in the moment. Nobody stuck a microphone in his face that second.
Correct.
There was plenty of time afterward to cool off.
Definitely. That is true. That is true. And that was my only thing, is because not that they stuck a microphone in his face, obviously, but, you know, players in their contract or however the league does it, they're supposed to be at that press conference after the game, no matter what, from what I know about it. So in a way, it's not pushing your face.
Well, no, I mean, he could have blown it off. He absolutely could have blown it off last night.
That is very true. And just, you know, I'll let you go with this one. I put some money on them when they were plus 700 at halftime. I threw the money on them, just hoping and wishing. It was a free bet, and won it. So I just want to say, amazing.
Giddy up.
It was a great day. It was a great day for me.
Appreciate it, Rio. Thanks for the call, and congratulations. That's a nice little win for you. I like it. Buddha's in the Bronx. What up, baby?
What's going on, Cat Daddy?
Oh, you know, a lot. All good.
Yeah, you know, that Julius Randle thing is very complex. A couple of thoughts on that. But real quick, you guys were talking about the hot dogs, you know, when you're leading with Michael Kay. Mm. I don't know if you remember that spot in Neelix. They used to be on 40 Deuce, you know, back in the days where they used to have the Frank with the dirty water with the split bun.
Yeah, I never had been there. I'd only heard about it.
Yeah, those Franks were good, man. I mean, the orange drink that they had was some type of chemical formula.
Oh, I remember the orange drink. Absolutely. That I knew. That I remember. I never had the Neelix hot dog, but I knew about the orange drink. Absolutely. And I had had that.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Good old days, you know?
Yeah.
Listen, with Julius Randle, I mean, first of all, your real number one point is that you hit it on the head. And it's becoming clear to everybody, you know, probably Julius himself, is that he's not the guy. And eventually they're going to move off of him, you know, because they sort of paid him. They didn't pay him that much. But his role on the team is like to be the top dog. So, you know, he's too inconsistent. He's not a top-tier talent. But, you know, like Eli has said earlier, you know, sometimes fans do say and do crazy things. I'm not saying that night that they did say something crazy. But I was listening when they were talking about some of those tweets people were talking about that they was happy he had COVID. I mean, that's not a good look, you know, for fans. And I can understand, you know, coming into the game with certain types of emotion. Now, Julius needs to be able to control his emotion, which clearly he hasn't. But, you know, I think, like, going back to your original point of, you know, the realization, it's not just a realization with the Knicks, you know, as an organization, or Julius as an individual. It's a realization of the fans. And I think he internalized that booing of the fans as they were booing him, ISO. And it wasn't ISO. It's the fact that, you know, the Knicks fans coming to realize that last year was an aberration. And, you know, technically, you're going to be almost back to where you were square one, where you don't really have that many good players. And, you know, they're in that, what do you call it, that, you know, that seesaw area. Like, when you're not really good enough, you know, to be a good team, but you're not bad enough to get that player that's going to transition your franchise. You
Which,
know?
In other words, you're in the worst place to be.
Pretty much.
I don't think it's quite that bad, but I get what you're saying. I mean, the problem is, for me, while there was a point for several years where you wanted to be closer to being that bad team, it's been so bad for so long that you can live with this, you know, end of the lottery type pick right now, because you just need to get better. You know, I'm not worried about being stuck in between right now. I worry about that in 3 or 4 years when you're at the same point and you haven't grown.
Yeah, but I mean, you have to admit, and this is something that can't be denied. you know, similar to, like, for some reason in this town, like, we like, overrate or we get attached to people because of, like, where they were picked or what we think that they could be. And when I see R.J. Barrett and then I also see Mekhi Becton, I see the fans as, like, overrating their talent or what they're going to be. You know, Becton is going to be a right tackle soon, bro. You understand what I'm talking about? And R.J. Yeah. Barrett, you know, he's going to give you 30, and then he's going to give you 4. It's just, it is what it is.
Listen, I hope that that's not the case sooner than later with Barrett, or with either one, really, but with Becton being a right tackle as opposed to a left tackle.
Doesn't look good.
Right, well, he hasn't played. Thanks, Buddha, for the call. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. Boy, you hate Joe Douglas. Boy, you do. And as far as Barrett's concerned, consistency. That's all we're looking for. Consistency to continue to build and be a better player. And it's not just about having the great moment like last night. What do I like about last night? He was, what, 4-for-12 or 13 or whatever he was? And he hits the shot? I think that's fantastic. It's a short memory. And that has me encouraged. That has me encouraged. Richard Manhattan. Hello, Richard.
Hi, Chris. Chris, the best Needix was the one on 34th on 6th Avenue, right in Macy's.
Richard, when did they close?
Oh, who knows? In the late 70s, I think.
Okay,
you know,
I
the orange drink was in a paper cup, a cylindrical cup that went into a plastic holder. That's what the orange drink was.
Yeah.
And I remember they didn't have sauerkraut. It was relish. You always had relish, toasted bun, mustard, and relish.
I got to be in the right mood for relish.
Yeah, well, that's what Needix had. And it was under, right in Macy's. It was in the Macy's store, right in the corner, the 34th and 6th, right there. I think that became a sunglass hut after that in the 80s and 90s, something like that.
Nothing against sunglass hut, but, I mean, come on. Those are hot dogs.
Yeah,
you need them.
Yeah, it was right there in Macy's. Anyway, here's my take on Julius Randle. Julius Randle is a great guy. He went up to the Bronx with Earl Monroe, donated all that money to the charter school. So you know the guy's heart is in the right place. I love watching the guy play. Me personally, Chris, I've never had a drink in an athletic event. I don't drink when I go to bars and watch games. I have a diet soda, and that's it. I watch these games like I'm watching the SAT. Now, with the blowout yesterday, if the fans didn't like it, you boo the team, you don't boo the player. And if it doesn't give you enough satisfaction, you just walk out. All right? You don't get personal with any player, not even an opposing player. Never do that. I would never do that. Chris, I never understood how people went to Broadway shows and spent all that money and have drinks before the show at the theater or at intermission. To me, it's all disrespectful to the actors or whoever's on the stage or any musical, anything like that.
Why is that? I mean, you're kind of sitting and relaxing as long as you're not screaming and yelling at them. And I don't know why that's disrespectful.
Chris, you have to have all your facilities at these things. These actors or musicians are giving you everything. Okay, now, here's my take on all of this. When you're saying that Randle doesn't have any remorse after the game, and this is all DNA-based. I mean, I don't want to think it's racial, but who knows? I didn't live the way...
I'm not going there, Richard. I don't want to get into that part of it. If you want to say he heard something he shouldn't have heard, and thanks for the call, that's fine. But I don't want to go down that road. I have no interest in it. And I don't think that has anything to do with it whatsoever. Not one bit. The bigger thing is this, and this is what I want to know from you, with the lines open at 800-919-3776. Is this just another sign that he's not part of the solution, that he's not part of the championship formula? Because you got the best that you're ever going to get from him, and you're not going to get it again. He's not part of it. And the sooner we all realize that, the better.
One more time.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Let's get some more of the tweets that are rolling in about the Randle situation. Central PA checking in. Cut the crap, Chris. This dude cares about the product on the court. New York is tough. He's always been gracious. Everyone reaches their breaking point. Hey, I don't have a problem if you're upset. I don't have a problem if you're frustrated. I have a problem when an hour after the fact you voice it publicly and you take on the fans and you tell them to shut the blank up. I have an issue with that. And then your issue, or rather your apology, isn't even really an apology. Loopy West, as a New Yorker and especially a Knicks fan, I loved his passion, just like Javi Baez. I never need an apology as a Met fan. New York fans need players that are passionate and want to win. Tell me to shut up all you want as long as you win. I don't think one actually has anything to do with the other. I think they're actually quite separate, in fact. B-Met checking in. I thought New Yorkers were thick-skinned. Thumbs up, thumbs down, I don't care. Just win, baby. Mets thing was also blown out of proportion, in my opinion. Guys, taking on the fans, if you're not offended by that as a fan, okay, that's fine. I think there are plenty of guys, plenty of fans that are offended when they spend that kind of money and somebody does that. When you get frustrated and you want to see the team play better and you're going to boo. John Neal asked this question earlier. He's from Philly. Would you rather the fans do the following when the team is not performing well? Boo or not show up? It's not like we can sit you down and talk to you and tell you our thoughts. And he's tweeted that at Julius Randle and sent this earlier. Look, if they don't show up, that's the bigger issue. And I'm not telling fans not to show up. Listen, you go and you enjoy it and you take it all in. And you know, it's your chance to wind down and think about something else for a little while. James Culpus. This really stinks, Chris. I like Julius. Wants to be a Knick. Worked hard to be improved. Works on the court to facilitate for his teammates and carry the load. Question, do you think he cares so much for the team it bothers him, or he cares all about himself only? No, I think he cares about the team. I think that this season his play has been subpar, and I think the effort level at times has been bad, and I think how he's handled himself on offense has been bad. There have been times he's given up the ball with two to shoot, basically like handing somebody a grenade. So that's where the issue is there. For me, I just would not let him off the hook that quickly. I really wouldn't. Because that would bother me to no end. To no end. If I'm in that building last night and he comes out and says that after the game. Dude, this wasn't just about one night. This is about a half a season so far in what they have been. And you want to talk about your breaking point? Well, the fans reach theirs too. If you're talking about specific people saying specific things, that's one thing. But that's not what you're doing when you're talking in a press conference after a game. T is in Staten Island next on 98.7 ESPN. T, what's going on?
Hey, how are you, Chris?
Good evening. How are you, T?
Chris, please give me a few minutes. I'm doing well, brother. I got a few points, Chris. First things first, I'm not bothered at all by what Julius did. If that's what it takes to get him to play angry and more get him more hype, I'm all for it. Chris, Julius Randle this year is averaging 20 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists. There are only 3 players in the NBA that are putting up those numbers, and I'll name them to you. It's the Joker, it's Giannis, and Embiid. There's only 3 other guys that put up those numbers on a consistent night. But that's not really the reason why I'm calling. The reason why I'm calling about when is Leon Rose going to get out of his chair with Allen Houston and going to call out his coach that he hired? He's the problem. And I'll tell you why he's the problem, Chris. First things first, Chris. Last year we were 20-19. This year we're 19-20. Only a 1-game difference through 39 games. Okay. This year, we started the season, Chris, at 10-8. And what happened at 10-8 is he decided because he listens to his boys that run those Excel spreadsheets, those geeks, those analytics guys. You know what? Kemba Walker is the problem. I'm going to make him the scapegoat, and I'm going to bench him because, you know what? He's got the worst defensive rating in the league. Okay, fine. You want to make him the problem. Let me bring a journeyman of Alec Burks that never started in an NBA game as a starter in his life. Let me make him a starting point guard. What happened after that, Chris? We went 2-8. Oh, then COVID happened, Chris. And then everybody got sick. I have nobody else to play. Let me throw Kemba back in the fire. What happens? The next 10 games, Chris, we go 6-4. That's the problem. He made Kemba the problem. Kemba wasn't the problem.
Kemba's also, but you're leaving out the part where Kemba has hurt his knee again, and that's been an issue. I've given you some room here. I gave you your room. With Kemba, if you honestly believe that if the Knicks had been playing Kemba all along, they'd be much, much better, or they wouldn't be 19-20, I can't help you. I don't buy that for a second. I think they absolutely would be exactly in the same place if they weren't playing Kemba, or if they were playing Kemba than when they weren't. John in Harlem. Oh, John, what's up, baby?
Yeah.
Hi, John.
Hey, buddy.
How you doing?
How you doing? I'm getting over speaking. Give me 1 second, dude.
All righty. We're going to wait for John for a second.
1 second, Charlie.
All right.
I'm sorry.
We're giving you time, John.
Appreciate it.
Not going to do this for many other people, but you're John. So.
Yeah, appreciate it. All right, I'm ready to go, Carl. Happy New Year, Colin.
You too, brother. What's up?
Definitely want to talk about this situation here. Unacceptable. I don't know what Knicks fans are talking about. It says, it really don't mean nothing. It means a whole lot. First of all, let's deal with his family. He was insulted because his family was there. What are you teaching your son when he's going to be faced with a bully or criticism, you know what I'm saying, when he's in school? No, he wasn't handled that properly. And like you said, he had more than enough time to gather his emotions, and they won. So, like, getting a happy-dappy move. They won. You present yourself like you were supposed to properly. It's unacceptable, but he feels bulletproof just like Tom Thibodeau. You know what I'm saying? It's a mindset. They feel entitled, like nothing can happen to either one of them, so they make all kind of moves, talking about the coaching, and then with him, like for him to come out. That's really unacceptable. Really unacceptable. He wasn't presenting himself better, but I've been stating numerous times, the reason the Pelicans let him go is the reason. The reason the Lakers let him go is the reason. But the Knicks, as they have done with free agency and they've done with their own free, day one, start signing contracts.
Well, look, I think Julius is a good player, okay? He's not what he was last year overall, and he's certainly not part of the solution in my estimation. And if
definitely
this is
not
kind of how you're going to handle any sort of adversity, it speaks to who you are as a player.
Right. Bad leadership. That's not good. They got to make RJ the face. His voice, the way he carries himself, he's been primed for the role. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's been held
back.
Yeah,
but before RJ's reality, that guy, you have to be more consistent.
But he has to be given the keys. See, that empowers them. Let them know, you got this, you can do this. They're going to do it. You got to look at
You can't
Kobe.
Give him the keys like, before he's earned it, though. You can't give him the keys before he has earned it.
No, you have to give him trust. You have to show him. First of all, you already made the pick. Yeah, give him the keys. Yeah. Everyone, he's the third pick. Everybody from six on down in any grab line, this is the absolute buzz, have been given the keys to their franchise. Trey Young, all of you can name. I ain't got to say
RJ hasn't done what Trey Young has done. Thanks for the call, John. RJ has not been anywhere near what Trey Young has been, or when they handed him the keys to the franchise, he hadn't accomplished it yet. RJ's not Trey Young. He's not Luka. He's not those guys. You have to earn that first. And he has not earned that yet. The bigger issue, and what I want to know is Randle part of a championship team? Is Randle part of a championship solution for the New York Knicks? It's a pretty simple question.
You're listening to Chris Carlin.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Who am I speaking to?
That would be Chris. Steve, how are you?
I'm fine.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Ben is in the Bronx, and he is next on 98.7 ESPN. Ben, what's going on?
Hey, good evening, you guys. Hey, let me tell you something. First of all, Randall is 6'8", should be playing his back against the back. All right?
I didn't catch any of that.
Okay, hold on. Could you hear me?
Yeah.
Could you hear me now? Okay. 6'8". 260 pounds, give or take. He should not be outside. He should be in that box with his back against the wall. His back against the basket. All right? He's in New York, where New York is the Mecca. Give or take, you got to be strong, you got to be aggressive, and you can't cry when people tell you, boo you. The bottom line. He's right there. He's right where he's supposed to be. There's no reason to not suck it up and become a better player.
Listen, that's what it is supposed to be. You are supposed to become a better player. And it's not like I feel like he hasn't grown. It's just this year, it's not even regression. Because he's still a younger player, but it's not even about the development stage. This is just more of not playing with nearly as much of an edge. Nearly as much intensity. He has not played at that same level. He just hasn't. And unless you're a star on another level, it can't be excusable after just one great year in your career and you're ascending to being that star. It's not, I'm not convinced of that. This is why I look at him and, like, we had the caller earlier who brings up, well, he's got 20 and 10 and 5 and only two other players in the league. Like, none of that crap means anything if the numbers are empty. And right now the numbers have been empty. When you're passing the ball with 3 on the shot clock, you're not passing the ball. You're throwing a grenade at a player. Let's call it what it is. When you're not playing anywhere near as well defensively or as hard defensively, it's noticeable when you're not a 35-point scorer consistently. I'm not asking him to be that. I'm asking him to be himself. And even if he's not the same player that he was last year, asking him to play just as hard, there's nothing wrong with that. But no, I got to hear from him last night. Shut the blank up for booing us. How dare you? How dare you? What championship did I miss last year? It was a great year for a fan base that was starved for 20 years. Dude, this has been going on a lot longer than since you got here 2 years ago. A lot longer. It's not just about your last year and how great you were. Come on. In a contract year, I mean, listen, we can start to look at it sideways, too, if we want to. Allen is in Uniondale next on 98.7 ESPN. Allen, what's going on?
Yo, my guy, Stone Cold Chris Carlin. What's going on, man?
You know.
John, all right. Yo, like I said, you look like Stone Cold who had too many Big Macs, but it's all right. yeah, let's go to this Knicks stuff, man. Oh, man, I'm not mad what he did, but he just needs to know that you're going to get booed now until you start playing good consistently all the time. You're going to get booed. That's what we do in New York. And it's also getting me tight because people want to make all these trades so we could just be mediocre or in purgatory. We're not going to get better. We're going to be a 16th, 15th. We get Dame or whoever. We're just going to be a 4th seed, not going anywhere. You get me?
Listen, and I think 4th seed is asking for a lot right now.
Right. And I'm not trying to give up all that stuff. If anything, I'll trade Randle like the Wizards did with Westbrook and make something happen. They traded Westbrook, got all these pieces, and look what they're doing now.
Well, but how were they able to trade Westbrook, though? They were able to trade him because they just got rid of him. They didn't get a ton of pieces for Westbrook, and they got the Lakers to take him off their hands because the Lakers thought maybe we can go win with Russell Westbrook.
True.
And it's not like they went and got a ton in exchange for Russell Westbrook. They were giving up, if I'm not mistaken, they gave up a pick with him to get him to take him. So,
but, you know, they got the pieces to mesh, though. They're playing well. That's what we need. We don't need all of these explosive, like, great pieces that we're paying a lot of money. We just need pieces to mesh well.
Well, they're not right now. Those pieces are not meshing well right now. And thanks for the call. Yes, you need them to mesh well, but that's not happening at the moment. So what is the solution at that point? To me, the solution is, all right, let's look at how this is going to go down this year. Let's see if Julius starts playing harder and better. And then let's try to move on and trade him and start to get a couple of those pieces that are ones that you can win with. But look at it however you want. His contract is very movable, but in trying to get a Dame Lillard type player, Randle is never going to be the centerpiece in that deal. Going back, it's going to be RJ. It's going to be Toppin. It's going to be those guys. They don't have interest in Julius being that player that they're getting in return that is justification for the trade. 800-919-3776. Do you honestly believe, and this is what I want to know, lines are open, hit me up, that the Knicks can win a championship with Julius Randle? That the Knicks can win consistently with Julius Randle? And I'm not even asking for him to be the number one guy. I'm not asking him to be the number two guy. If Julius Randle was the number three on this team, could they win a championship? I'm starting to think no. JoJo in Nutley is next, 98.7 ESPN. JoJo.
Hey, how you doing, Chris? Happy New Year.
You too. What's up?
How you doing? I'm just going over Julius Randle yesterday. He obviously knows he made a terrible mistake. You know, if he walks down the block in New York City, I think, you know, New York fans, we have faith in the guy. We protect him. We know he's one of us. The problem is he made a bad mistake yesterday, but we're down by 21 points, and the Knicks fans did not leave the stadium. We stayed. It was an embarrassment, and we stayed. And that should just show the passion that the Knicks fans have. I don't understand what these players don't understand is we're there for them. And let's be honest, what contending for a championship team or Eastern Conference, Western Conference, whatever you want to go, teams that go far in the playoffs, they need a superstar on that team, on any team. Julius Randle's a number three, like you said, and that's fine. I'm fine with him. He's a very good number three. You know, maybe you could say he's a decent number two, but we're going to have to go out and get somebody. What, you know, who is that guy? I have no idea. A couple people say Lillard a lot. I haven't heard anything about it. I wish our owner would come out and, like, give us a little heads up of what direction the team is going in. But, you know, right now, you know, he's just a number three, and I just think that we're never going to go far. Will we make a run? Will we make some good wins? Hopefully we do something, but we're not going far anywhere without a superstar.
You. No, you're not. And listen, they know that too. And thanks for the call, JoJo. I mean, make no mistake. There's no way that they are trying to build this with Randle as the centerpiece of everything. No, absolutely not. And I sense that they know that Randle is not part of the solution either. But they gave him the contract knowing if we keep this manageable, which they did, we can trade it away in that deal eventually. When we go to get Dame Lillard or whoever it is. I'll tell you, though, I think that with Randle right now, it's very difficult to see where he's a championship-type player. The demeanor on the court, there are some guys who just have an indifference to them, right? Does Julius Randle have an indifference to him? there are times where the body language and all that would suggest it. Maybe I'm being unfair when I say that, but I have seen an indifference in his play this year that makes me believe it's not consistent. That's all you ask. Consistency. Consistency. You want to see your team and your players that you're building around be consistent. That's it. That's it. Ricky in Staten Island is next, 98.7 ESPN. Ricky.
How are you, Chris? It's been a while.
Yeah, how are you, sir? You know, listen, I'm here. Good to hear from you.
I'm jumping on the Julius Randle train.
Okay.
Almost everybody. You know, I didn't like what he did by any stretch of the imagination. However, I'm not going to lose my mind over it. I get it. It wasn't okay. His apology was a half apology that, you know, really wasn't, but, you know, it is what it is. Anyway, we all know he's not a number one, and I think the fact that he is kind of a de facto number one is really his issue. He doesn't have the temperament. He doesn't have the mental toughness to be a true number one, and I think that's really – it's kind
he's
of breaking
just not good
him a
enough
bit.
To be a true number one.
Oh, no, absolutely, 100%. You know, I thought about when you said, can he be an integral part of a championship roster? I don't know the real answer to that. I think he could be maybe a two or a three. I think probably closer to a three, like most people really have pointed out. But I honestly think he could be an important piece on a roster with two bona fide stars. I think it's just the pressure of everybody with all the eyes on him and the fact the year that he had last year, and, you know, the expectations are much higher. I think he's kind of just cracking under pressure. I think, you know, if he maybe took a back seat to a few other players, I think he actually could actualize his full potential. I don't know if that's true. I don't know what you think about that, but I don't know. That's just a thought I had.
When you say
I wanted
take
to call
a back
and,
seat,
uh,
who is he taking a back seat to right now?
No. Nobody right now. I mean, yeah. In the future, you know, if they acquire, maybe
it will be. And I think, listen, again, if you're gonna sit there and say he's part of the solution, those have to be the right two guys, especially. It's not like you could just throw three of them together. I think that they have to be two alpha male type guys. You know, they have to be two guys who are going to take control of the situation, hold guys accountable. And this year, Julius Randle needs to be held accountable, and he hasn't been so far. And last night's a perfect example. Perfect example, Ricky. Thanks for the call. Jacob Perry, you're a Knicks fan. Let's talk about this for a minute. You and Brian Munguia. Brian, you're a Knicks fan too, right?
Yes.
You are a Knicks fan as well. Okay.
Yes, big time.
All right, boys. So how do we feel about this thing? Were you annoyed? Were you indifferent? How do you feel now? How did you feel when you heard the comment?
Well, I worked the game, so hearing it live, I can actually say...
Were we in delay at the time?
Oh, man, trust me. I had to delay it hit the dump button like three or four times. It was not a fun thing. But just hearing it live, I was taken aback just because it's not too many plays you hear challenge a fan, especially Knicks fans. And I didn't think it was the best idea either, because it could go bad, like from bad to worse. So that's like one of those things I was
as
not really
a fan,
too sure.
Were you offended by it?
I wasn't offended, but I just didn't like how it was going to end out for him, honestly. Because I like Julius as a person, but and I not a big fan of his game, but I just knew it wasn't going to get any better for him as with the team.
All right, that's fair. Brian, what about you?
I was a little surprised, but then again, I was like, wait, looking back in the last games that he was in, he looked like out of it. He's been looking out of it the whole season as well. But you could see, like, even on the defensive side, when he gets all frustrated, when he doesn't make a basket, like, it's in his head. Like, you could see, like, this is a different Julius Randle than last season. So I was like, okay, so maybe this was the boiling point. It just had to happen against Boston. But I was like, all right, okay, Julius. I guess I was a little surprised.
And, you know, I mean, if it wasn't like, for me, like collectively the Knicks as a team have struggled. So is it, I could nitpick at any one of them. So Julius just make himself stand out from the pack by doing what he did last night.
Yeah, I think that's fair too. I just, listen, they all have not played well. And I know that everybody keeps pointing to the fact that they were at this point last year. But if you remember, when we were sitting there at this point last year, everybody was happy that they were 20 and 19. Everybody was thrilled that they were 20 and 19. Is anybody thrilled now? Like, that was acceptable after what had been such a long stretch. And acceptable isn't the word that I would use here. I'm not saying it's not acceptable, but it's certainly not where you hoped it would be or believed it would be after you added some scoring to the mix. And the meshing of the players has not gone particularly well. But would you, if I had told you before the season, the Knicks are going to be 19 and 20, as two fans, what would your response have been?
I'd be like, okay, it's okay. But then here's another factor. So last season, there was no fans at this point, right? That's another. So maybe I think, or probably I strongly believe, the fans are a huge fan because there was nothing. There was no distractions for Julius Randle, and that's why he was playing well. And now there is fans, and now it's getting into his head.
And to piggyback off of that point, a caller did bring up a great thing. If Julius Randle didn't have the season he did last year, he might have been traded. So, I mean, it's not out the realm of possibility that Julius Randle would not be a part of this team if at this point.
He might have been. What did he have? He had 1 year left on his deal.
He had another year left.
But expiring contract, you know. Somebody would have looked at it that way. It's possible he would have been gone. I don't know what they would have gotten in return. Would they be infinitely better for it? But you know what I'm saying. I'm down on him because that's just a moment where it should not happen. It's not to me an emotional thing because he absolutely had time to get past that and to just put it out of his system, and he didn't. Or at least just clear his head, and whoever's talking to him right before he goes out there, don't say something stupid. You know? Don't say something stupid. Do you think he is part of a solution of winning a championship with the Knicks? Or when they eventually do, will he not be part of it?
It's Carlin.
Let me give you a little advice. There's three rules that I live by. Never get less than 12 hours sleep. Never play cards with a guy who's got the same first name as a city. And never go near a lady who's got a tattoo of a dagger on her body. Now, you stick with that. Everything else is cream cheese.
On 98.7 ESPN.